Hare Krishna.
Jayuvada Madhava Khajabihari Vada Madhava Jayuvada Madhava Khajabihari Vada Gopajana Mala Bhagiri Varadari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Krishna. Shila Prabhupada ki jaya om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Paramadhikatara Svukta Sutta Divine Grace AC Bhaktivedanta Swami Shila Prabhupada ki jaya Islam founder Acharya Shila Prabhupada ki jaya BBT founder Shila Prabhupada ki jaya Namacharya Shila Haridas Thakur ki jaya Pramsa Kahushi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichananda Shri Dvita Gadar Harshivasadi Gauda Bhakta Vrinda ki jaya Shivara Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shamakun Radhakun Giri Govardhana ki jaya Shri Vrindavan Dham ki jaya Mayapur Navadvip Dham ki jaya Ganga Mai ki jaya Jamuna Mai ki jaya Tulsi Devi ki jaya Bhakti Devi ki jaya Most beautiful Lordship, Shri Shri Radhananda Nishwarada ki jaya, Jagannath Baladev Subhaja Maharani ki jaya, Giriraj Maharaj ki jaya, Shri Shri Gorni Thai ki jaya, Harinam Sankirtan ki jaya, Sankirtan Yajna ki jaya, Bihamadanga Transcendental Book Distribution ki jaya, Nithai, Gaura Premanandi, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Basaya Bilesh Bhakti Radhana Swami Tidam Neno Vishnu Padaya. Hare Krishna, everyone. Thank you for coming to Srimad Bhagavatam class. Or for those of you at home, thank you for tuning in, being present to hear from Srimad Bhagavatam. So before I begin, I would like to seek blessings from all the assembled Vaishnavas, many of whom are senior to me, that with your permission and blessings, I can begin to speak something from the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Only by the mercy of Vaishnavas is anything possible. Hare Krishna. So we'll be continuing our reading from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The 10th canto is entitled the Samambonam, and we are reading from chapter 24, which is entitled almost, it's not the lifting of Govardhan Hill, it's the worshipping of Govardhan Hill. And today we'll be reading text number 10. Okay, before we begin, please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tachche se no pajivanti. Trivarga palahetave. Humsam purusha karanam. Parjanya pala bhavanaha. Tachche she no pajivanti. Trivarga pala hetave. Humsam purusha karanam. Parjanya pala bhavanaha. Tachche se no pajivanti. Trivarga pala hetave. Pumsam purusha karanam. Parjanya pala bhavanaha. Tachche se no pajivanti. Ladies, please. Thank you. word for word. Tat, of that sacrifice. Sheshena, by the remnants. Upajivanti, they sustain their lives. Jivarga, consisting of the three aims of human life. Which are? Anyone knows? Okay. Dharma, Artha, and Moksha. Yeah. Well, that's four. So which is it? Huh? That's a very Krishna conscious answer, but that's not the one that's here. Okay, it's actually Dharma, which is religiosity, Artha, which is economic development, and Kama, which is sense gratification. So religiosity, economic development, and sense gratification. Please repeat. Palahetave, for the sake of fruit. Punsam, for persons. Purushukaranam, engaged in human endeavor. Parjanyaha, Lord Indra. Palabhavanaha, the means of effecting the intended goals. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. By accepting the remnants of sacrifices performed to Indra, people sustain their lives and accomplish the threefold aims of religiosity, economic development, and sense gratification. Thus, Lord Indra is the agent responsible for the fruitive success of industrious people. Please repeat. By accepting the remnants of sacrifices performed to Indra, people sustain their lives and accomplish the threefold aims of religiosity, economic development, and sense gratification. Thus, Lord Indra is the agent responsible for the fruitive success of industrious people. Purport. One might object that people sustain themselves by farming, industry, and so on. But, as previously mentioned, all humans and non-human endeavors depend on food and drink, which cannot be produced without ample rain. By the word Trivarga, Nanda further points out that the prosperity achieved through sacrifice for Indra is meant not merely for sense gratification, but also for religiosity and economic development. Unless people are well fed, it is difficult for them to execute their duties. And without performance of duty, it is very difficult to be religious. Om Agnati Nandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Militangena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Gena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gurun Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Sha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagapate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gauranga Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Please, everyone, turn your phones on very loud. We have a little lottery system. Whoever's phone goes off during class, they sponsor a Gita. Are you happy to sponsor one Gita today, Mataji? Okay. So if everyone could please turn on their mobile phones very loudly, it would be greatly appreciated. Okay, so verse again. Tachche she no pajivanti trivarga pala hetave pumsam purushakara nam parjanya pala bhavanaha. By accepting the remnants of sacrifices performed to Indra, people sustain their lives and accomplish the threefold aims of religiosity, economic development, and sense gratification. Thus, Lord Indra is the agent responsible for the fruitive success of industrious people. So, I was reading this, and sometimes it's nice to do when studying to get lost in the scriptures and just wander off sometimes, not necessarily aimlessly, but down a certain path and see where Krishna leads you. So after my walk down the path of the scriptures, I have a lot of questions. So I need the assistance of the sadhus to help me to resolve some of my queries. So please forgive me if I'm playing devil's advocate with some of these things, but my Krishna consciousness is in danger, and I need all of your help to help me to understand the Krishna conscious way to see this and perceive the Shastra. So I'm sure that all of you are very capable to salvage my spiritual life, so I'm putting it in your capable hands. As I started to read this, the first thing that came up for me, which was, I don't know, I found it quite remarkable, was that I was reading the pastime of the lifting of Govardhan Hill, or the worshipping of Govardhan Hill, and this is Nanda Maharaj who's speaking to Krishna, and of course Krishna is, what, about 7 years old, here, something like that, and he's are you leaving now, Raja Vidyapuru? 5 minutes. So before Raja Vidyapuru leaves, we can all say Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
Hari
Bol.
Raja Vidyapuru ki.
Yeah.
So I was trying to picture this, Nanda Maharaj speaking to this 7-year-old boy, and of course, after he finishes this section, or I think there's one more verse, then of course Krishna begins to speak to Nanda Maharaj. And I think at the end of the purport yesterday, it says that, the purport from yesterday, says, Nanda Maharaj patiently tried to explain the facts of life to his young son, Sri Krishna. But in fact, Nanda and all the residents of Vrindavan would learn an astonishing lesson as explained in this chapter. Jai Shri Shri Radhalanda Nishwari Gita Govardhan Shri Shri Gornitai Ki Jai Jagannath Bhavadev Subhaji Maharani Ki Jai. So, the residents of Braj, Nanda Maharaj, all of them are about to learn an amazing lesson at the hands of a seven-year-old boy, which is pretty profound in and of itself. But but then I was thinking, okay, so let's see what Krishna has to say elsewhere about yajna, about sacrifice. And then as I opened the pages of the Bhagavad Gita and began to read, somehow I realized, oh my God, this is the same Krishna who was a seven-year-old boy in Vrindavan speaking to Nanda Maharaj, who now, how many years later? Like 100 years later? 120 years later? Huh? Yeah. So Krishna was 120. Oh, I said 100. Okay, we'll do the lottery later. So roughly 100 years later. We'll say 108 just to make it auspicious. So roughly 108 years later. 108 years later. Okay, now just fathom that for a minute. 100. Anyone here is over 100? Anyone here? Okay. Yeah. You're timeless, Prabhu. So 100 years later, the same personality is speaking on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And we're reading the philosophy that he spoke there, also about yajna and sacrifice, but then he's speaking to his dear friend Arjuna. So I don't know, for me somehow it was quite amazing to make this connection, because I don't always connect them in that same way. I always see Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra a little bit differently from the Krishna in Vrindavan, you know? So my first question is, are they the same or are they different, or anyone would like to make a comment on that? Do we have the microphone? Okay. So I thought we'd really make use of this nice microphone this morning.
Can you repeat the question again, please?
So on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, that Krishna is speaking to Arjuna, and in one sense you can say, of course, it's obviously the same Krishna, but the Krishna in Vrindavan that we read about in the Govardhan pastime, obviously he's younger and a bit different, but are they the same Krishna? Is there something different about them? Is it anyone?
We'll only be motivated if you have a prize at the end.
Yeah. We're going to discuss that in a few minutes. What's that? That's right. All the people at home will know who are the great souls of ISKCON London. So? That's all you had to say? Okay.
No.
Thank you for your contribution.
It's like the, you know, it's oneness and difference. So they're one, but they're different.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Maybe people also see him in a different way.
Say that again.
Devotees, they see him in a different way.
Devotees see him in a different way. Please explain.
For example, for Kamsa, it's like that.
Speaking to them, yeah.
For Kamsa and for when, you know, Yakis and Yarina.
Into the mic, yes.
Kamsa. And the Kobi see him in a different way, and Arjuna sees him in a different way. That's what I'm thinking of.
Okay, that's very nice. I think there's that pastime when Krishna is in the arena about to kill Kamsa, right? They're describing how everyone is viewing Krishna in a different way. Very nice. Excellent. Yeah, Radhapuru.
We know already that when Krishna leaves Vrindavan, then
thank you.
Yeah, then he actually stays in Vrindavan. It's not that he leaves, but that at that point, the Vasudev Krishna expansion of Krishna that is within him, then goes on the chariot and carries on to Mathura or Dwarka or whatever outside Vrindavan. So the Krishna expansion that speaks Bhagavad Gita is the Vasudev expansion of Krishna. So I'm just wondering, like, We know sometimes Krishna is kind of covered by Yogamaya for his the enjoyment of his own pastimes. So is it, you know, I'm just kind of asking, you know, maybe, or thinking maybe there's like Krishna's in a different, well, he's definitely in a different mood, but maybe he has like a different understanding, you know, of how things are at the time when he's speaking to Nanavaj and at the time he's speaking Bhagavad Gita. You know what I mean?
Mm.
One thing is in a different kind of mood because it's a different expansion of Krishna. But another thing is maybe Yogamaya is also causing a different type of consciousness of Krishna.
Mm-hmm. Okay, interesting. Interesting. So, yeah, you wanted to add something?
As far as I understand, then Krishna, Vasudev Krishna, is one who kills all the demons.
Mm-hmm.
So prior to this, Krishna is already, the same Krishna that's speaking to Nanda Maharaj, has just annihilated lots of demons. So that would mean that it's Vasudev Krishna, even though he's in his small form. But Krishna Prabhupada gives the example that Krishna as a baby, when Putana comes, he's still fully all-powerful Krishna. Just because he's in a baby form doesn't mean he's any different. So I would say that it's Vasudev Krishna.
Who's in Vrindavan speaking Govardhan Leela, speaking during the Govardhan Leela.
Yeah.
Ladies, anything? Don't be shy now. Okay. Mike.
We worship Bala Krishna
mm-hmm.
rather than Krishna. Because Bal Krishna, my mother used to tell me, I'm not right, I don't know if I'm right or not, but it's more innocent, lovely, and after he lives for Mathura, he's more like of manipulating king kind of quality.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the difference, I think. So he's like, he has to do his work as a, he's on this earth to perform something.
Mm-hmm.
So he started doing that when he went to Mathura.
Okay.
More political, more king-making kind of quality.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very nice.
I don't know.
Thank you. Yes, Bal Krishna, very innocent, sweet, lovable. King Krishna, maybe a little something different, Dwarka, different mood. Yeah.
I was thinking more of a relationship with Nanda Maharaj. It's like he's the father, so he's sort of thinking him as the father. Relationship with Arjuna, it was more like the spiritual master, and he started off as a friend and became the spiritual master and the disciple.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very nice. Yeah, Veer Bhadrapru? Pass. There's not two mics? Okay.
Well, Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra was also instructing, because I mean, we've understood that Vasudev Krishna and Brajendranandana Krishna are like two different, like Vasudev Krishna is an expansion. So then on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, like Vasudev Krishna is different from Brajendranandana Krishna, like he's an expansion of Brajendranandana Krishna. It's the pastime when Akrura is taking Krishna and Balaram out of Vrindavan and they take bath in the, I can't remember what Kund is. But then he sees these expansions, Sankarshan and Vasudev. So then on the Kurukshetra, Krishna is instructing many people, not just Arjuna. So the instructions that he gave to the Braj Basus about how to increase their love, basically, is also, it's not going to maybe apply, well, basically what I'm trying to say is that the instructions that he's giving in Kurukshetra for all people of all different types of mentality and stuff, so he's giving them demigod worship if they need it on sacrifice and all these things, because he's giving the whole Vedic
path. In Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in Vrindavan he's giving, like Braj Bhakti, like that kind of thing, so yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Murlipur, you want to dare to comment?
I think your question, what's your question again? Just I think it's been answered.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, we've heard some different answers. But the question, it was just, you know, is the Krishna in Vrindavan speaking Govardhan Lila different from the Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra speaking to Arjuna?
I think all forms are contained within Krishna. Mm-hmm. All expansions are contained within Krishna. Krishna and Kurukshetra establishing the religious principles and killing demons, then that's the Vishnu aspect mm-hmm. of Krishna.
Vasudev
aspect of Krishna. So.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, Virabhadra Prabhu has correctly stated what Sunita Thai Prabhu said is correct, but as far as I've understood, when he kills the demon, it's Vasudev, but then once he's back into Leela, Braj Leela, it's no longer, it's not that once he kills the first demon, then he's Vasudev from that point. As you said, once they leave Vrindavan and they take bath in that kund, that I also can't remember the name of the kund, then they stay in Vrindavan and the expansion forms go on to Mathura and carry on from that point. Also, very correctly pointed out that at least the instructions given in the Bhagavad Gita are in general for everyone, not that the instructions given in the later chapters of the Srimad Bhagavatam are not for everyone, but this, the 10th canto is entitled the Samambonam, and this is the pinnacle of understanding Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So, like that, then the instructions may be a little varied, but at the same time relevant and pointing to the same ultimate siddhanta, which is to love Krishna. So with that, I had a question. Now, in Bhagavad Gita, it says so many different things about sacrifice, which is what's being discussed here. So, specifically, I was looking in the third chapter, also in the 17th chapter, the Bhagavad Gita, a few things there in the 10th chapter. So my first question is, which mode of sacrifice is the Govardhan Puja, well, not the Govardhan Puja, but the Indra Yajna is being performed according to chapter 17, which explains sacrifices within the modes. Yes, Sundar Prabhu.
I was...
Who would like me to read it before they make a comment? Very, okay. Of course, you can press the buzzer before we're finished and take a chance, but then you will be disqualified from answering after that. Okay, so text 11 of chapter 17 says, of sacrifices, the sacrifice performed according to the directions of the scripture as a matter of duty by those who desire no reward is of the nature of goodness. So Sachi Kishore Prabhu's mood of wanting a prize is not in the mode of goodness, okay? Text 12. But the sacrifice performed for some material benefit or for the sake of pride, O chief of Bharatas, you should know to be in the mode of passion. And text 13, any sacrifice performed without regard for the direction of scripture, without distribution of prasad, spiritual food, without chanting of Vedic hymns and remuneration to the priests, and without faith is considered to be in the mode of ignorance. Yes. Now, in the purport to that one, it's interesting because Srila Prabhupada says, sometimes people worship some demigod just to make money and then spend the money for recreation, ignoring the scriptural injunctions. Such ceremonial shows of religiosity are not accepted as genuine, and they are also in the mode of darkness. So now, I pose my question again to the sadhus. Which mode is the yajna, Indra yajna, in? Sunanatakuru?
Modes of passion and ignorance.
Mode of passion and ignorance, okay. Anyone else would like to comment? Yeah?
Shuddha Sattva, because it's done by the Rajvasis and Vrindavan with Krishna.
Shuddha Sattva, okay. Indra. Why are you sitting in the corner? Okay. What's that? You say it again? Goodness, which is 17:11. Of sacrifice, the sacrifice performed according to the direction of Scripture as a matter of duty by those who desire no reward is of the nature of goodness. So in the Purport Prabhupada says the general tendency is to offer sacrifice with some purpose in mind, but here it is stated that sacrifice should be performed without any such desire. It should be done as a matter of duty. Take, for example, the performance of rituals in temples or churches. Generally, they are performed with the purpose of material benefit, but that is not the mode of goodness. One should go to a temple or a church as a matter of duty. Like that. Yes, Guru Krishna Prabhu.
Well, the purport says, the last verse, unless people are well fed, it is difficult for them to execute their duties. And without performance of duty, it is very difficult to be religious. So they're implying in the purport that the reason that Nanda Maharaj was organizing this was so that they could be religious and do their duty. The duty may not be the highest.
The duty may not be?
The highest. I mean, it's to Indra, not to Krishna. But it is. But that the mode of goodness, may it can still be the mode of goodness, because, but not necessarily the Shuddha Shatva.
Okay.
That's transcendental, but this is possibly religious. Just, but it, I think it's a mode of goodness. Okay. It's not just for sense gratification and economic development.
Okay, very interesting. Very nice. Is this your expansion?
One time we did this pastime as a drama, and I remember the person who wrote the script, they were very. They're quite particular at just taking the verses from the Bhagavatam or from the Krishna book. And I remember one of the lines Nanda Maharaj said in his answers to Krishna. He said, this ceremony is more or less a social custom, a tradition in our family.
That's the next verse, actually.
So that would, as Sundar Prabhu implied, that would imply passion and ignorance.
Actually, he says, this religious principle is based on sound tradition. Anyone who rejects it out of lust, enmity, fear, or greed will certainly fail to achieve good fortune. But actually, Guru Krishna Prabhu's comment is that the ultimate aim, as they said, that the performance of this yagya is to sustain their lives and accomplish the threefold aims of religiosity, which is dharma, economic development, and sense gratification. So they're performing it for religious principles, for the aims given in the, and those aims are given in the Shastra, in the scripture, in Vedics, in the Vedas. So what do we think? Yeah?
Then I'm just confused, because it's in the Braj verses are in like Nanda Maharaj and all these devotees there in the material modes of nature, and then it would...
No, I'm not really trying to say that the Braj Bhasis are in the modes of material nature, but the idea is to use this example to help us to understand the modes of sacrifice and different modes like that. Of course, they're completely in yoga-maya, they're worshipping Indra, for God's sakes. I mean, we could get into that whole, they're demigod worshippers, and, they worship Narayan, they don't worship Krishna, like that. So that's not the point of this, so please don't mistake that I'm trying to accuse the Braj Bhasis of being in the mode of passion or ignorance and like that. But the point is to use this example to try to understand that they're performing a sacrifice, and what are sacrifices within the modes for explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Because we might look to see what's going on here. How do we understand sacrifice? They're performing sacrifice. Krishna is recommending sacrifice. And throughout the Bhagavad Gita, sacrifice is mentioned a lot. The next part I was going to read from the third chapter is even more in depth about sacrifice. Ultimately, we have to understand the context with which Krishna is speaking in the Bhagavad Gita, and also later here, which is, I think, the 17th chapter, is the divisions of faith. So like that, just before the conclusion. But no, I'm not trying to imply that they're there, and so please forgive if that came across. But just trying to understand the one's motive for performing. Mother Ermola was speaking yesterday about the fact that we even perform devotional service, we still may be motivated by desire for some economic development or some sense gratification or moksha, you know, even to just be liberated from this suffering, you know. So in the same way, you know, we may be affected by these things, so it's good to understand how we're performing our sankirtan yagya process of devotional service and also be clear. But I think, at least from what I could gather, it seems that their performance of yagya is probably in general in the mode of goodness, but there's definitely a tinge of some passion there, because there's a desire for sense gratification. Interesting thing that I found, though, is in the 10th chapter, Krishna says of demigods, he is Indra. That's interesting. So if they're worshipping Indra, then in one sense they're also worshipping Krishna. So just interesting little statements. But Krishna also says of sacrifices, he is Japa. So that's another aspect. But in the 3rd chapter, starting with Yagyata Karmano Yatra Loko Yam Karma Bandhanha Tarutam Karma Kuntaya Mukta Sangha Samachate. Is that right? Mukta Samachara. Mukta Sangha Samachara. Then 3.9. And this whole section dealing with sacrifice also explains that that one should perform sacrifice to Vishnu. No, that's Yagi Shishashtana Santo, Vachanti Sarvaka Vishai. Yeah, this is work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu, has to be performed, otherwise work causes bondage in the material world. Therefore, O son of Kunti, perform your prescribed duties for his satisfaction, and in that way you will always remain free from bondage. Then it says, then it carries on, it says, in the beginning of creation, the Lord of all creatures sent forth generations of men and demigods along with sacrifices for Vishnu, and blessed them by saying, be thou happy by this yajna, or sacrifice, because its performance will bestow upon you everything desirable for living happily and achieving liberation. The demigods, being pleased by sacrifices, will also please you. And thus, by cooperation between men and demigods, prosperity will reign for all. In charge of the various necessities of life, the demigods, being satisfied by the performance of yajna, will supply all necessities to you. But he who enjoys such gifts without offering them to the demigods in return is certainly a thief. So it's interesting, because now what's been established is that that men should offer their necessities that are being supplied by the demigods, should offer them back to the demigods, right? Or else you're considered a thief. And then there's the famous Yagya Shishashana Santo Muchanti Sarvakil Bishai Bunjati Te Twagam Papa Yapachantyatma Karanat. The devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food which is offered first for sacrifice. Others who prepare food for personal sense enjoyment verily eat only sin. So this is one of the simplest sacrifices, and is connected directly to the purport from this verse, which is that if we don't eat, we can't perform duties. And everyone here is eating. Is there anyone here who doesn't eat? Maybe some people try to diet or fast, but in general that's something we have to do every day, at least once a day. And eating, that activity or action, is meant to be performed as a sacrifice. That's a sacrifice that all of us have to do every day. Of course, we don't have to. We can just eat. And then, but what the Bhagavad Gita is explaining is, if you just eat and you don't offer it, then you're basically eating sin. You're creating karmic bondage in this material world. So all of us have to perform this simple sacrifice every day of offering our food. Now, of course, there was some complications in here that I wanted to get into, but there's not a lot of time. Some more questions. But the basic point here is that this idea of sacrifice, Krishna is explaining yajna in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita and sacrifice in terms of the Vedic perspective. And he goes through quite some interesting conversation here about sacrifice, such to the point that he says that someone who is actually performing sacrifice selflessly for the pleasure of the Lord, he doesn't even have to perform sacrifice. He doesn't have to do any duties. He's free from all of that. But then he says that actually a great person, what is the verse? Yajad acharya shreshtas. Anyway, 321, I think it is, right? So he says that whatever actions a great man performs, common men follow. So, and then there's a whole section where he discusses how one who's performing some sacrifice shouldn't be unsettled, shouldn't be disturbed, but should be encouraged to perform at the next level of just, you know, carry on doing your sacrifice, carry on doing your yajna, whatever it is. One shouldn't unsettle them, but should help to move them to the next level, which in one sense is the glory of the Vedic scriptures, because it encourages one on the next step, picks you up wherever you are, reaches you wherever you are, and puts you on the ladder of progress. So, of course, anyway, there's lots of, I had about 10 or 12 more questions to ask to help us understand these different points. But, the idea of this was that just in reading the scripture, there's so many things there. Recently, I've gone to a few different places where I've met devotees after programs where they say, when I read the Gita, I'm really confused. You know, I've read it a few times and I just can't, I mean, I know it's great, but I can't get anything out of it. And, you know, obviously the thing is that when we come in contact with someone who's able to have heard from Srila Prabhupada, who explains things so perfectly and precisely, then you begin to understand the mystery or the science of the Bhagavad Gita, and you're able to help others to explain it. But even in our own reading, maybe if we're honest, then we probably read some sections of the Gita, you know, or even the Bhagavatam, whatever, and we're also a little confused. Am I the only one, or do others also? Everyone? Okay, so most people are not confused, but definitely I find, okay, well, why exactly is he saying like that? I mean, how does that work? And, you know, he seems to give sanction here for one thing, but later it says like this. And so, who was it that was explaining? We were talking the other day that the Gita is like layers and peeled. Yeah, Mother Irmla was saying like that. That as we read the Gita again and again and again, it's like layers, you know. I don't know if anyone else finds it. When you read, like we were just reading the other day, and I was like, the 4-1, Shibhagavan Uvacha, Yogam, Ikshvak. That's the last line, yeah. Yeah. So this verse, you know, and I was reading the purport there, and I was thinking, man, I don't remember Prabhupada putting all this in the purport before. I'm sure I've read this at least 2 or 3 times at least. But I was just reading, I was like, wow, I'm taking notes and, you know, becoming alive and like, well, let me just check this out. And then the next verse, you know, and it's like, you know, as you're ready for it, the more you read, the more you dive in, the more you swim in the nectarian ocean of the Bhagavad Gita, the scripture, then the deeper you can go and the more you realize. But sometimes we just swim across once and we think, yeah, I got it, I got enough for this. But, you know, you have to really, like, get into it and inquire, you know, while you're reading, why is that? What does that mean? How? And just, you know, just go on a journey, really get absorbed in the scripture, ask questions, and then come out of it, have conversation. And I guess just on this mood that we were discussing once before in the Ishtagosi, just about how we should become inspired to read, you know, read the scripture and really get into it, and not just, in one sense, skim through it and put a little tick in a box that says, I did my reading today. But what did you read? I mean, can you repeat one thing that you just read in that hour? Anything profound? Did it lead you anywhere? Did it have an impact on your life? Did it help you to understand something? The nature of the soul is pleasure-seeking, and pleasure comes from growth. Pleasure comes as the revelation of Krishna, you know, is there. You know, is there some revelation? Ah, now I understand more. Krishna is revealing himself. The layers of our heart are getting peeled away. So we should really try to dive into more and more the scripture and just see that, like Prabhupada said, you can read the Bhagavad Gita for your whole life over and over and over and over again. And those layers will become lifted in the Gita and you'll go deeper and deeper. Prabhupada has written it in so many different levels that even after whatever 20, 30, 40 years of reading, can still open the Gita and be like, wow, this is amazing. Like I was just reading, I think it speaks of Lord Janak in this section, the third chapter. And I was thinking, just see, you can even go into Ram Katha from the Bhagavad Gita, because Prabhupada opens up in the purport about who Janak is and Sita Devi. And I was just thinking, you know, this is the nectar. Prabhupada is just an incredible personality to be able to just put everything in the Bhagavad Gita, you know. So it's very wonderful. Anyway, so just sharing a lot. Don't really have a lot of wisdom or insight about any of these things. Just wanted to converse about the scripture amongst the sadhus. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So for the pleasure of their lordships, we have some Sankirtan scores. In Radha's Boutique, we distributed 5 books for 307 Nashville points. And in Govinda's Restaurant, we distributed prasadam to at least 295 customers for a total of 2,240 Lakshmi points. On book distribution, 2 scores reported. Bhakta Alexi, 5 Lakshmi points, 1 Mahabig for 2 book points. Sunandatai Prabhu, 160 Lakshmi points, 1 set for 34.25 book points. Total of 2 scores, 165 Lakshmi, 1 set, 1 Maha Big Book for 36.25 book points. Srila Prabhupada shares no book distribution. Ki jai. So now we'll offer our prayer to their lordships. But first we need servers on the ladies' side. Okay. All right. And servers on the men's side. Any volunteers to help serve prasadam? Okay, and anyone to help clean up the temple room after breakfast? One, anyone who can help with that service? Yeah, okay, thank you. Okay, so we'll offer our prayer to their lordships. Dear Shri Shri Radhavandanishwar, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, Shri Shri Gauranitai, and Giri Govardhan, we offer our most respectful obeisances unto you. With a mood of deep gratitude and appreciation, we request your causeless mercy upon us. For your pleasure, we are endeavoring to distribute the books of your pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, to the fallen conditioned souls of London. Please enable us to cooperate together in a mood of selfless service in order to maintain and increase our efforts. Please send more devotees to assist us in bringing many new souls to your lotus feet. We, your surrendered servants, humbly beg. Jai Srila Prabhupada's transcendental book distribution ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So if everyone can please help in the prasadam chain.
Thank you.